is Penn Jillette. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, sitting here with my good friend Michael Goudeau, about to do a radio show on the big free FM. I guess we're not about to do. We're not fixing to get ready to do one. I think we are doing one right now. Is that
we're
right?
We're on, yeah.
And the phone number is 866-570-PEN, and PEN translates into 7366. And there's a there's quite a bad echo here. I'm going to take my headphones off. I'm fully aware of what day it is, and we're going to get to that, certainly. And the phone lines may already be lighting up because people know what day it is if you have your the stories that are appropriate to today. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. You can also write into penradio at gmail.com. PennRadio.com is where we live on the web. Although I don't go there very often. Do you ever check it out?
No.
Okay, never. But I mean, I hear that it's got like podcasts and there's pictures and pictures all of us are taken in front of like in this really dark studio. You can't tell. I looked at one picture of us and Chris Angel and it doesn't even look like Chris Angel or us. But that's okay. That's what you get at PennRadio.com. We're going to get to all this stuff, but there's such great news. Bush signed the Soledad Cross. He made it federal.
Thank goodness.
Now, will you explain to me why making it federal makes it okay? I mean, the separation of church and state is not a, a state issue, is it?
No.
I mean, isn't the First Amendment federal?
You would think it would.
Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Right.
I thought that was a federal right thing. But he signed it in. It'll probably go to the Supreme Court and keep going. And why?
Just spend a lot of money for no reason.
Why do these atheists think that they have a right? To, I don't know. But one thing is true. It's not a big deal. And they should just do it right. Put it on public, put it on private property. Who cares?
Somebody buy it.
Yeah, just buy it. Put it on private property. The Christians have plenty of money. They're not lacking money. Buy a hunk of land and put a cross up that goes to heaven.
Sell one of those really nice ones from the Vatican. Buy the whole hill.
Buy the whole hill. Sure. I think that's terrific. There should be crosses. There should be crosses the size of the Empire State Building up. They should just be on, you know, private land and not public land. I don't mind having to see them. I just don't want to pay for them. And anything that's public land, you have to pay for. Bobcat Goldthwait was at the show last night.
Really?
Yeah, I tried to get him to come on the show this morning, but Bobcat said that he has a movie coming out called Sleeping Dogs Lie, and did really well at Sundance, and he wants to come on to pimp that. He wants to wait until he can pimp that. It's going to be out in September, so he'll come on when there's something in it for him, which is exactly the way it should be. But it's a movie that starts with a woman having sex with a dog. That's the opening scene. Mm-hmm. And then a comedy ensues. I don't even think it is mostly a comedy. I think it's a rather serious movie. He's a real director now. He says he's not going to do stand-up anymore, but there you go. What I want to talk about first, before we get to the subject of the day, 866-570-PEN, 7366, is they think they got some frozen woolly mammoth sperm.
Yeah.
And who doesn't? As a matter of fact, I have your frozen woolly mammoth
bird's eye
right here. I have it right here. They have bodies of many extinct ice age mammals.
Sure.
You know, they get frozen in the permafrost. And some of them have sperm. And they think they could monkey with the genetics and make it so that we could have, I guess the closest animal they have here is the Asian elephant.
Sure.
Is that the big ears, little ears?
Asian is little ears.
Little ears, okay. Just as long as the people, I see some stuff on MySpace, my MySpace account.
Yeah.
They write into me a letter now and again, and I read them, and they always think that you know everything.
No.
Crocodile and alligator, what's the difference?
Alligators live in the U.S., shorter nose.
Okay. Those are the only two things I know. So that's the only thing I can check here. The Asian elephant. And then they could monkey with the DNA, put an egg in
there,
bring out. And there is a talk show host here in Vegas who is, I believe, very in favor of the cross, very Christian. And her argument, and I love this argument, about woolly mammoths and bringing them
right
back from mm-hmm. extinction is what do we need them for? They probably went extinct for a reason.
That was... Maybe she thought she was going to have to take care of it.
I guess so. It was like a dog for her kid. I don't know. There might be some scientific interest in this. And also, how come we can get so upset about... this is the great thing. There are people that are really upset about animals going extinct. And then if some of those same people are upset about extinct animals being brought back. So it's a hard one to win.
I want a fuzzy elephant. I love it. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Really cool.
You can cuddle with it.
866-570-PEN, 7366. Before we get to the real topic of the day, if you have anything to say about bringing back woolly mammoths, you know, the Jurassic Park or any of that stuff, you know, I think it's fabulous. I think we should have, I believe that... that the earth, and this is not the same way that a Christian would think this, but I think that all that matters is people. And I think that people should have whatever they want. And I think a lot of people would like a woolly mammoth zoo. I think a lot of people would like a woolly mammoth zoo. And I think when they get a little better at it, and they're able to do like Jurassic Park, that's a really cool thing. Now, Spielberg had to turn it into a monster movie, you know. But I think that, and the book is also right there.
Yeah.
What is Crichton?
Michael Crichton.
Yeah. His book is also a monster book. But I think it could be just a cool thing to be able to see dinosaurs.
You know, once we start manipulating the genetics, we'll be able to have a tiny pink fuzzy elephant. Like about a poodle-sized tiny pink fuzzy elephant.
Well, we talked to Norman Borlaug, and he wants to use genetic engineering to feed the world. And
right.
thinks we can do that.
Yeah.
But I think that a tiny, pink woolly mammoth would be really cool. Even what do you mean by tiny? You don't mean like in the palm of your hand.
No, I wasn't talking palm of the hand. I'm thinking poodle
pony,
size.
A poodle.
Pony, oh, yeah.
That would be a pony party.
I'm going to have to get one of those for my daughter.
Yes, she would love that.
She would love that.
And the big tusks that come up on there.
Yeah,
yeah. It'd be a cool thing. It'd be a cool thing. Maybe carry your daughter around in the tusks. And we'd learn a lot about them.
Put a little rubber ball on the end of each tusk.
No goring. We don't want any goring. So when Bobcat's movie comes out, he'll be here to pimp it. Sleeping Dogs Lie.
I'm looking forward to it, although I'm sad he's not going to do stand-up. He's the greatest.
He didn't
stand-up.
Say he was never going to do stand-up anymore.
Is that what you said? Those are the words you spoke?
I believe I did.
Okay.
But what he said last night was he has no interest whatsoever in doing stand-up. But that could change.
Sure, if the movie tanks.
So if you want Bobcat to be a great stand-up, please do not go see Sleeping Dogs Lie when it comes out. Have him tank as a director. Just go right belly up as a director. I was hoping that some people would care about the woolly mammoth and bringing things back, but it seems like we're not getting any good calls, any good Gmails coming in about
on the woolly mammoth.
I was hoping that people would have a lot of opinions on the woolly mammoth, and I wasn't expecting anything on the Soul Dad Cross because I think that anyone who listens to this show agrees with us, right?
I think so.
I think that even the hardest core Christian, anybody who's religious, believes that separation of church and state is not only good for those of us who don't believe, but also very good for those who believe. You don't want the state to decide on your church at all. So it's 866-570-PEN. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. If you don't have letters on your phone, 866-570-7366. Or penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. And I think it's about time to fess up to actually what today is. Because yesterday was Monday. We had a fine show Monday.
Sure.
So today is Tuesday, and that means Monkey Tuesday! And of course, on this day, you can call up with any monkey stories you have. We like to avoid the flinging of feces, and we like to avoid the sexual acts because two things: one, Free FM isn't thrilled about them, and two, we have had plenty of those stories. We mostly like stories that have intense violence and injury. And are caused by monkeys or caused to monkeys. That seems to work well. I really tried hard to make it Woolly Mammoth Tuesday. You notice that? I tried to kind of shift the whole thing. But there's only so much you can do. You know, you can't stop the rock. And there's a power here. Let's talk to Harold.
Sure.
What's up, Harold?
Hi, I have this great idea. I think what we ought to do is after we spend all the money with the technology and the science to bring it back, you bring this woolly mammoth back, you give it maybe just 4 minutes to look around, and then you extinct it again.
I mostly just love the verb form of the word extinct.
Yeah,
I'm just going to extinct your ass. You are extinct, you mother Hubbard. You are, I extincted.
I can't believe it. You give it enough time to realize what's going on after millions of years. It's being extincted again.
I just want to tell you something, though, Harold. Giving a woolly mammoth enough time to realize it's been thousands of years might be thousands of years. I don't know if they're that smart. I think maybe bringing back a Neanderthal, you sit him down, you explain to him everything. Like, you know, your species have been extinct for this long. You used to be interbreeding with us. Now you're not. We've moved way ahead. We have all this technology. Look, an answering machine, boom, and then pop him with a .44 right in the face. So then extinct him. Extinct his ass.
And by the way, I also wonder, when this thing's around, the first time it actually kind of passes wind, what do you think that smells like?
Well, you know, you're not talking about the frozen one. You're talking about a baby one.
But it grows up, and then we smell the past wind of a million-year-old
It's magic. It's true science magic.
We are always smelling the gas of millions of year old things. All of us go back. In the sense of a woolly mammoth, we all go back that far. And as you sit in your room, you are smelling the million year old thing. Because, you know, it's your selfish genes that have moved on and moved on. But if nothing else, Harold, you gave us the word extincted. I extincted all of them. I extincted all of them.
You know what else I like, though? We could, maybe we can combine his passion and Norman Borlaug's. Maybe we can eat mammoths.
Mm.
Maybe they're low in saturated fat.
Wouldn't that be great?
Ah, but they must be delicious, right? We killed them off once because they were good. I bet they're probably as good as a dodo.
And now they're American, right? They're North American.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So it's mostly the Native Americans who extincted them.
Yeah, I believe so.
I mean,
one of the theories. That's one of the theories.
Native Americans extincted more things than anybody else.
I think they probably did.
Yeah, because they were just a slash and burn, hungry culture. And I want to just say that, you know, some of my people, everybody of course claims to be to part Native American, but I believe I am. At least my mother wanted to believe it. My mother wanted to believe we were part
Pequot.
Yeah, the Pequot. That's a Moby Dick reference, but not only
a Moby Dick reference.
No, it's not. It's also the Indian tribe that owned the casinos in Connecticut. Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. Let's see. We have some more calls on this. Now, we are going to get to Monkey Tuesday. We are going to get to that. But I'm kind of caught up. I think that Monkey Tuesday is kind of a metaphor, let's call it a metonymy. Monkey Tuesday is metonymy for all sorts of wonderful animal stories that show our place in it. Let's see what Terry has to say.
Sure. How are you going?
Mm-hmm.
I think we should... I'm sure that, you know, those monkeys make good mothers.
All I'm asking is when you do this, Terry, wear gloves. That's all I'm asking is get a pair of, you know, pair of rubber gloves and wear those. I think there are other issues. I don't think you can crossbreed anything. I mean, that's the cool thing about genetic engineering. With genetic engineering, you can crossbreed anything, but I don't think that you can just have
You don't think the blastocyst is going to implant in the chimp? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
I just thought we would take that egg and implant it. You know, have the monkey be the host.
Oh, I see. I see. So the egg would be Asian elephant. The sperm would be woolly mammoth, and the womb would be monkey.
Mother.
And then the monkey would bond on to the woolly mammoth. And I think you got a children's story here. The mother with a tail. Thanks so much, Terry.
I hung up on him. I said thanks,
and I'm sorry. Let's talk to Doyle.
There you go.
What's up, Doyle?
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Just monkeying around listening to you guys.
Absolutely. What's up?
Listen, about the mammoth thing, I think they're extinct for a reason, as well as dinosaurs and everything else.
What reason would that be on the woolly mammoth?
It would be the evolutionary scale of things. I don't know, the life of this revolving thing with us.
Yeah, but see, the thing about evolution is that natural selection is does not have any good or bad. And it's very possible that many animals that have gone extinct are suited very well to this environment. I mean, we don't know why the dinosaurs went extinct, but it's very likely that whatever caused that extinction is not true now. And woolly mammoths, one of the theories is that the Native Americans just, you know, beat them all to death and killed them all, and we could bring them back and do that again. We could extinct them.
Yes, true, very true. I agree with you there. But
there's a feeling about evolution that it has some sort of rhyme or reason, and that's just not the case. There is not. We are not better suited to live on this planet than. We're a bad example because we probably are. We've taken it over so well. But animals alive today are not necessarily better suited than the dinosaurs. It's just the luck of the draw on some of these things. Natural selection does, over long periods of time, does bring out the very best for that niche. But the niches change faster than the animals change. So it is possible that there are dinosaurs that would live very happily in Cincinnati. As a matter of fact, I've been to Cincinnati, and I believe I saw some dinosaurs living right there.
Cleveland.
Okay. You're right. Cincinnati is close to civilization. But thanks a lot, Doyle. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, let's talk to, this is getting good. This is getting okay. You know, actually, I'm going to stay on this bringing back extincted species thing for a little longer because enough of the calls are monkey that I feel we're being true to Monkey Tuesday. It's okay. He's easy. Patrick, today Happy Jack isn't here. Okay, Happy Jack is, I think, arguing with somebody right now.
Fisticuffs, I believe.
Yeah, fisticuffs with somebody. He's having an altercation somewhere. So, that's what Happy Jack is doing. Happy Jack's relatives came to the show last night, and I didn't know who she was, and I used her for the knife-throwing thing.
Nice.
Very attractive woman on her 21st birthday. You could not see any genetic resemblance to Happy Jack whatsoever. I think maybe married into the family. But she was delightful. She did a great, great job on stage. And I hope nobody that saw the show last night hears this and thinks it was fishy that I knew her. I didn't know her until afterwards when she said she was related to Happy Jack. The phone number is 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. The Gmail is penradio@gmail.com. And we're kind of talking about two things. We are talking about woolly mammoths bringing extincted animals back to life, but of course, always and every time, it is Monkey Tuesday! Was a woolly mammoth there at the end.
That was very nice.
Was it nice woolly mammoth?
Pretty good.
It's kind of a woolly mammoth Tuesday. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PenRadio@gmail.com. PenRadio.com. Sitting with Michael Goudeau. My name is Penn Jillette. We got some really good Gmails, and the lines are filled up. So we're talking about woolly mammoths, should they be brought back, and always with an undertone, a nice simian undertone, a top note, as they'd say in the perfume business, a top note of simian, and then we're talking woolly mammoth on top of that. This is from Natasha, who I know. She's a friend of mine, and I trust her, but man, this is an amazing story. Are you believing this?
I don't know if it's true.
Hi, Penn and Michael. Yay, Woolly Mammoth Tuesday. My grandfather, before becoming a crotchety substitute teacher, was a shorter, uglier Indiana Jones. It's very hard to imagine a shorter Indiana Jones, but okay. Shorter, uglier Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford is a little man. Back in the 50s, he was on a dig to bring up a partially frozen mammoth carcass, which is cool in itself, of course. But here's the kicker. The flesh was preserved enough that they got the great idea to have a barbecue. As you can imagine, the non-vegetarians in the group had a world-class case of woolly mammoth's revenge. In fact, let's just forget I'm related to the guy. Okay, so two questions here. One is, would you dig up a frozen woolly mammoth, and would somebody eat it? And if you did eat it, would the bacteria give you some sort of dysentery or something?
Well, you know, here it says there's no reliable report of modern humans eating any part of a frozen mammoth.
Okay.
Although, apparently they did dig up, looks like a frozen bison and eat that.
They did?
Yeah.
And did they get sick?
They have tried it. No, they didn't get sick.
Okay. But how'd you find that? What website had that?
stupidquestions.com.
Is that true?
Archive, stupidquestions.net.
And then Lauren writes in, don't extinct it again. Deep freeze it and bury it in Siberia just to mess with the creationists. Give them the proof they need and let them hang themselves on their own petard. You can't hang yourself. You can hoist yourself on your own petard. Petard means small bomb. Mm-hmm. And the word hoist has changed meaning over the years. So people seem to think the petard means something you'd be hanged with, but it's not. You'd hoist yourself on your own petard. You wouldn't hang yourself on your own petard. I just happen to know that, which is when I read this. And my good friend Todd Robbins, who we've had on the show, and is a carny in New York City, doing a zillion great shows, has said he could make good money with a woolly mammoth. There's no doubt about
pretty
that.
Good money.
I'm glad that Todd's listening. I like that Todd's listening. Makes me happy he's listening to New York. Let's talk to Will. What's up, Will?
What's up, Penn? How are you, man?
Never been better, boss. How are you?
All right. Yeah, I think we should go into business, get a couple thousand acres in Texas, and bring that mammoth back, and then we'll shoot the hell out of him at a high price.
You're a big fan of the Nuge? You like Ted Nugent?
Oh, yeah. Sure. I'm up in the Poconos. I'm a big hunter. I'm all down for hunting a mammoth.
Really? What's the biggest thing you hunt?
My biggest thing I've ever gotten so far is just a deer, but... a bunch of my friends got some bears, and I'd love to say, "Hey, come check out my mammoth."
So you think you could? You think you could kill? What's the biggest animal you could kill with your bare hands?
With my bare hands? Oh man, I don't know.
See, this is the question.
Even a squirrel or something, maybe.
Yeah, no, it's tough. Isn't it tough? I always want to see. I want there to be a new sport. Maybe you can help get this going.
Well, you got that guy Tread Barter or whatever. He's doing the wild hogs with bare hands, stabbing them with a knife.
Yeah, but the knife isn't bare hands, sir. I want someone to go stark naked into the woods. Catch an animal and kill it. I want.
Yeah.
I'll give you a little hint. You probably want to stay away from the predators.
Yeah, you know, any animal out there sees the thing that walks on two legs and they hightail out of there.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But you'd shoot a woolly mammoth. How much would you pay right now, cash in the barrel head, for a hunting trip where you weren't guaranteed to shoot a woolly mammoth like some of those things, but you had the possibility of shooting a woolly mammoth? How much money would you pay?
At least $10,000.
You have that kind of money, you'd lay it down right now.
Definitely.
Okay.
That would be a lifetime experience.
For those geneticists listening out there, for those people
who
are out there.
There's money in this.
There's money in this, because the chances that the one guy who paid 10 grand would just happen to call us are pretty low. So there's probably five guys in the country. There's probably $50,000 if you can bring back a woolly mammoth and have it hunted. I know it's more than that. I'm just joking, Will. Thanks a lot, man. I just love that limited perspective thing. Bring it back and hunt it. And I see nothing wrong with that. I'm cool with that. But there's a lot of other people with other points of view. Let me see. Let's take Dean.
Sure.
How you doing, Dean? What's up?
I'm pretty good. I was just reading a while ago, you know, in a few years they were going to reintroduce some of the old animals that got extinct, like the lions, things like that, into Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
On private land. So, you know, they should just do that with the mammoth, you know. Instead of bringing the new ones, just bring back the old ones.
I don't know what that means.
You know, like, because they're bringing back the new species, the new elephants, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was already an old extinct lion that lived in America.
Oh, I see, yeah. Oh, I see. Oh, I see. I understand what you're saying. So you're saying instead of having a wildlife park, or not a park, but a place where they just let them go,
yeah.
Do that with all animals that have been extincted.
Yep.
Oh, that's a cool idea. I think, I mean, that's just, this is just the seed of Jurassic Park. I want to make it very clear to Michael Crichton that if he had not written Jurassic Park, this conversation would give Godot and me the idea to write Jurassic Park. We'd be writing it this afternoon if he hadn't already written it. So, Michael Crichton, you're not that special. You were like, what, 8 years ahead of us, that's all.
Eight?
Ten?
Yeah.
When did you write Jurassic Park?
I don't know, but it's a long time.
Is it really?
It is.
30 years?
Yes.
Michael Crichton wrote Jurassic Park 30 years ago? Okay. Well, I guess I'm wrong. Okay, well, thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. I'm not sure about this. You'll find out when Jurassic Park was written.
Well, the movie came out in 93.
Yeah?
So.
Wow. 93? That's not 8 years ago. No.
See what I'm saying here?
I'm just saying that we're really, really, really old. I never screw the woolly mammoths. Bring me back. Bring me back and give me a place to live. Let's go to Shane. What's up, Shane?
Yeah, I was just thinking that for research purposes, it'd be great to be able to bring back some of our more simian ancestors. You know, of course, we're not literally from monkeys, but we have more simian ancestors. It'd be great to bring back cavemen.
Yeah, it would be. It would be great to have Neanderthals around, stuff like that. It'd be fabulous.
Bring back Lucy.
Well, be able to find out how they thought and how they hunted and, you know, I don't know. It'd be very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you find out anything about their culture this way, because the baby born in modern world, you'd only be getting strictly physiological things. You wouldn't be getting anything because the culture is so much software. It's just so much programming software.
If you go into something more along the lines, and this might sound a little odd, but more along the lines of a type of preserved, you're talking Jurassic Park with humanoids here.
Yeah.
Basically, where the first ones, yes, they are, you know, essentially test tube babies, but the rest, you allow a culture to evolve in isolation.
So you would just give them like a city in the U.S. hog wild.
Yeah, then we call it Bedrock.
We would have our own little like in Papua New Guinea, right? We just have Papua New Guinea in like Nebraska or something.
Yeah, I guess that'd make for great TV too. You know, there's money in all of this.
There is money just raining down out of all this.
The caveman Truman Show.
Exactly. Especially the part at the end where he dramatically walks off set grunting.
Well, thanks a lot, Shane.
Right, thank you.
When did Jurassic Park get written?
I don't know. I stopped because we got to the movie part.
That's not enough. I wanted the book.
Get on it. Jeez Louise.
I've got a monkey story here while we're waiting. This is from Reuters. Truly bizarre crime. This was today. This is a story today. This is in Berlin. Okay. Thieves, dig this. I mean, we have covered this so clearly on this show. We are so ahead of the curve. We're even ahead of Berlin, Germany. Thieves in Germany stole 7,500 euros, which is $9,500, behind, and then pickpocketing him while they pretended to help clean up the mess, authorities said Monday. What a great plan. After withdrawing 8,000 euros from a bank for a holiday, the central town said. Immediately afterwards, two large women came up to him from behind, police said in a statement. The two paper towels they had with them, they were soon joined by a third man who also came bearing paper towels. Only when the man went to take his foul-smelling trousers to the cleaners did he notice that 7,500 euros had been taken from his back pocket by one of the would-be helpers, police said. So crime marches on. So if you are hit with horrible substances while walking down the street, don't let anyone help you. That's what we learned about. Clean yourself up. Let's take one more call from Nick. What's up, Nick?
How you doing?
Doing very well, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. I was just thinking, hey, I mean, the woolly mammoths, you don't have to worry about traffic anymore. Just hop on one of their bags, you're good.
I think they're slower. I think they're even slower than a hybrid.
I'd have to agree with that. You know, you don't have to worry about traffic. And, you know, just
well, you do have to worry about traffic because faster-moving cars would be hitting your woolly mammoth.
Yeah, but how much damage is a car going to do to a giant woolly mammoth?
It depends entirely on speed and weight of the car. What do you think? I would think that. Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Nick. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, it is going to be fully, full-on, no kidding, monkey! Monkey Tuesday. 866-570-PEN 7366. Call up with your monkey stories. Jungle noises, but I was doing those noises.
Is there an animal whose personation you don't do?
I do a lot
your
of them.
Dolphin was amazing
dolphin.
As well.
That's really all I get.
All right.
I don't do like lions and stuff. But
sure.
Yeah. It's Monkey Tuesday, as you all know. And Jack's not here, so we're a little bit wilder. Jack really likes us to keep on one subject, but we're keeping woolly mammoths and monkeys alive here. And now we get a lot of monkey calls. Let's take a few of those. Let's talk to Ron. What's up, Ron?
Hi, Penn. How you doing?
Never better, boss.
I got a great monkey story for you.
Lay it on us.
All right, well, me and my friends, you know, we got one of our friends who works at a zoo, right?
Uh-huh, sure.
And he decides to let us in one night. Now, this is already not a smart decision for him.
Right. This is...
So what we did is we bought a bunch of condoms and a bunch of bananas.
Yeah.
And we decided to wrap the bananas in the condoms.
Uh-huh. The best use you could think of for a condom with all your friends, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, considering it's all guys, yeah.
Okay.
So we decided we're standing outside with our drinks and our bananas.
And the drinks, and just, the drinks are just... such an important part of this story. The drinks, I can tell right now, the drinks are the most important part of this story. Go on.
So we take the bananas and we chuck them into the cage and we just watch the monkeys try to get the bananas out of
them. These are bananas in condoms. Now, did you unpeel them first or did you peel? They're still peeled.
They're still peeled.
But you still have the peel on them, right?
Yeah, they still have the peel on them.
So there's a peel and a condom. Throw it to the monkeys. What do the monkeys do?
The monkeys, we got one monkey who's like the alpha, I guess, and he bites straight into this thing.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's right. Of course. I hadn't thought much about the taste of lubricant, but I'm thinking about it now. Sure, sure. That can kind of ruin your Banana Jones, right?
Oh, yeah. So he just starts getting, the monkeys just follow suit and just start railing them at him. Just the whole... Every banana we gave them.
They threw a package. Well, I got to tell you that Bill Gates will be very happy that you found another use for condoms.
In his
fight against HIV. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ron. Let's talk to Bill right there, shall we? What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. How you doing? This is Bill in lovely Boulder City.
Oh, good. Cool.
I've got a monkey story for you.
Lay it on us. That's what we're here for.
Back in the late 60s and early 70s, brother in New York City was the office manager for the play Hair.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early 70s, when the show closed, they were cleaning out everything backstage and so on and so forth, and there happened to be a monkey suit. I got wind of it.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. Where is the monkey suit Hair?
I have no idea. It was probably just something backstage, and they were getting rid of a lot of stuff.
Okay, maybe it's during the song of the X. I never saw it. I never saw Hair, did you?
No.
Okay, so we don't know. Maybe someone will call up and tell us where the monkey suit and Hair is.
I have no idea. Anyway, he shipped it to me, and back then we used to ride Harleys and stuff when it was still kind of cool.
Okay, riding Harleys. But now when you say your brother in New York, do you mean your biological brother or your biker brother?
My biological brother.
Okay, just want to get this all straight. Go ahead.
So, of course, first thing we do, I put him on, and he actually became part of the group, not as me in a monkey suit, but his name was Harry.
Uh-huh.
So we get on our bikes and our Sportsters, and we'd be flying down the highway, and I'd get in the lead and pull up beside people, you know, with his full-fledged monkey suit on and the helmet. Well, they just about, you know, had a heart attack.
Now you had the monkey head on.
The whole thing, the hands, the whole suit, and it was really nice. It was really a good quality monkey suit.
And did you have the helmet over
the head?
Oh wow, and it fit, huh?
Then we took him one time. We took Harry. We went to a Baltimore Colts game when they were still in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Boy, there we were tipping a few beers and the halftime's rolling around. And people, I happened to have Harry in the trunk of the car. He said, "Go get Harry." I said, "Okay." So I went, put Harry on, came back in. Then I got the bright idea. I just started walking into the place And as the security stopped me, I kept telling them that I'm part of the halftime show.
Uh-huh.
So they kept, and they took me through the tunnels and down through the locker room. Next thing you know, we're up these steps and out onto the playing field. I'm walking around the sideline, you know, getting it up with the players and stuff, and then I get a tap on the shoulder that the general manager, Joe Thomas, at the time said, get off the field. No arrest, no fine.
You know, Bill, I think you may be the Louis Pasteur of sneaking into places. I used to say, you know, when celebrities would go out, like, you know, Mick Jagger and those guys, or Prince, and they would get bothered by people, and, you know, they would complain about it, I would always say, you know, why don't they wear a monkey suit? Then, you know, they're a guy in a monkey suit, but they're not Mick Jagger any longer. But it never crossed my mind, if you showed up at the Penn and Teller Theater, okay, in a full monkey suit, and you said to the usher, you know, I'm here, I'm doing a thing backstage with Penn and Teller. They got a gag for a TV spot they're doing. We have really tight security at Penn and Teller. I bet you were breezed right through. I bet there's any place in the country, I bet, if you go, I mean, a live event, a movie wouldn't help, but a live event, I bet if you show up, and I mean in a high-quality monkey suit, not some ratty, I mean, comb it out, make it really pretty. A nice-looking monkey suit with full hands, full feet, full head. I think they're going to let you in. I mean, I think there's this big, if there's a big, the Elton John show, you show up over at the Caesar's Palace, and you walk up and just, you have a monkey suit on and go, he's doing a different take with Rocket Man tonight. It's a little different thing. Where's the stage door? I bet you get in, sometimes you get thrown out. You get thrown out on your monkey ass. But you made it all the way, I mean, you eventually got thrown out, but pleasantly, right? And you got
pleasantly,
all the way
no,
to the field.
No arrest, no fine, which wouldn't happen today, I think.
Oh,
you know,
I don't know if it would. I don't know if it would. I just don't think, you know, and I don't want to get into this, any of this cultural superiority stuff or cultural relativism, but I want to tell you, I don't think there is one radical Muslim who has the brains to dress up in a monkey suit in order to hurt the United States of America. But I'll tell you, if they got that idea, it would hurt us more deeply than anything else, you know. But I think that a monkey suit, you could get in, I think you could get in almost anywhere. I still think it would work. As a matter of fact, I think if you wanted to invest, what do you think, and you stole yours from hair, but what do you think a monkey suit costs, Goodall?
Oh, geez.
$1,500?
Yeah, probably $1,000 for a monkey suit.
$1,000
get you a good monkey. I mean, I'm talking about quality.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Do you still have hair, or did you get rid of them?
No, Harry kind of just fell apart.
Yeah,
the story doesn't end there, by the way.
Oh, okay, sorry, go on.
We ended up taking him to the Super Bowl one year because the people that where we were from in Pennsylvania, the Steelers were playing the Cowboys. I happened to like the Cowboys at the time, and there was a kicker for the Steelers named Roy Girella.
Uh-huh.
And for years, he had this guy in a monkey suit called Girella's Gorillas.
Uh-huh.
If you ever watched football back then, and he would go to all the games and so on. So I knew he was going to the Super Bowl when Dallas was playing, so I took Harry down. I had a T-shirt made, and I, you know, something to say, you know, give me Roy's Gorilla or something. And we went all over Miami looking for this other gorilla, you know, wearing Harry. Never bought a drink ever. You know, every time I walked into a bar, they, you know, set up the monkey. And we even crashed the Dallas Cowboys hotel and went in by the pool, and they weren't there, but all their wives were, and Harry just had a good old time sniffing around.
I can't understand why. So how many years were you using Harry?
Oh, 3 or 4.
Wow. And there was no danger you didn't feel in riding the Harley with the monkey suit on?
No.
I had a bee fly into an eye of a moped I was on once.
Yeah, you were riding with a monkey suit.
Yeah, a gorilla suit, yeah.
And did you have special privileges in a monkey suit?
I did.
Yeah, what did you do?
I mean, you know, the head of line.
I think it's a great idea. Thank you so much, Bill. I think
yes,
that's, as long as the story ends there. You know, I think it'd be a great idea. As a matter of fact, I think that, I it's not like I get recognized all that much. I mean, people are nice to me. I don't get, like, you know, mobbed when I go out, you know. So I don't want to be, obscure. I'm happy to go say hi to people. But, you know, I've been out to places where, like, Mick Jagger were and, like, Prince and stuff. And they are really, really uptight about anybody even pointing over and saying their name. Probably for good reason, you know. They probably get hurt, you know. I mean, I remember Debbie Harry telling stories of, you know, know, when heart of glass at the top of the charts, people would rip her apart. They would grab at her and stuff. And, you know, it was really dangerous to be that famous. There's a level of fame where it gets dangerous. And I think, I mean, I don't know, who's the most famous person now? Tom Cruise, maybe? No, mm-hmm. Probably Jay Leno. Is he probably the most recognizable? But he's so nice, no one bugs him. I don't know who, but I would think that Tom Cruise.
Probably Mel Gibson.
Putting his, Mel, Tom, what'd you call him?
Melvin Gibstein, sorry.
Melvin Gibstein. Melvin Gibstein. Yes, Melvin Gibstein. I think if you put Tom Cruise in a monkey suit, holding his little daughter in a monkey suit, no one would bother him as Tom Cruise. You know, because if you're wearing a monkey suit and out in public in a monkey suit with your daughter, that's a level of crazy. But man, it does not touch Scientology. I mean, you cannot see Scientology from a monkey suit for crazy, can you?
No. And people are happy to see the monkey. I remember
really
the,
happy.
They were honking.
Really
waves.
Happy. Yeah, the other day we were looking. We were on the web. I forget who we were on with, who was here. But we were looking at different kinds of suits because I bought my friend Mark Garland in New York City. Mm-hmm. I bought him a full chicken suit. You know, full chicken suit, feet, everything, a high-quality product. It was over a grand. And he wore that chicken suit. I remember one time my friend Eddie Gordetsky, Eddie G., who writes on Two and a Half Men, I think the funny one of the funniest men alive. I was going to say the funniest, but there's Gilbert Gottfried and stuff. But Eddie is really funny. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, he's way funny. And Eddie asked to borrow. I maybe have told this story before, and I probably shouldn't have told it before. I certainly shouldn't tell it again. But I think I still, okay. Eddie had a girlfriend, a really gorgeous model girlfriend in New York. And he'd been living with her for a while. And he came to Mark Garland, and he said, could I borrow your chicken suit tonight? And Eddie's a big guy, you know, tattoos, muscular, but also heavy. Big, heavy guy, bald, you know, has a gold tooth, and a tough guy. And he was with his girlfriend, and they were getting ready to go to bed, real sexy moment, and Eddie goes, just give me a minute. And Eddie goes in the other room, and he puts on the entire chicken suit, okay? The entire chicken suit, the head, the body, I was going to say head, thorax, and abdomen, but the head and the body and the feet, okay? And then she is lying in bed by candlelight, naked, and she is ready for action. The door to the bathroom swings open, and Eddie comes in wearing a chicken suit and goes, hi, how are you? And he said that she laughed, and he could not get her out of laughing at the chicken mode into proper sex mode the rest of the night or the next day. She was hysterical. She loved him more than she's ever loved him, but there was no kind of sexual drive going on there because of the chicken suit. So I just think wearing an animal suit where it's not expected, I think is genius. It's automatically funny. And if you don't have an animal suit, this doesn't work for sex, but for other stuff, get naked. The Marx Brothers did it all the time. I've done it many times. Show up naked somewhere. It's the greatest thing in the world. And please, and I want to add this in, if you ever have a religious proselytizer knock on your door, do what I do. Strip off all your clothes as quickly as you can. Be sure there are proselytizers. You don't want to do it to somebody who's trying to sell vacuum cleaners. Strip, you know, the guys with the white shirts on the bikes with the ties. Mm-hmm. I strip off all my clothes, butt naked. Walk over to the door and swing it open wide and go, how you doing? Come on in. Let's talk religion. And they put you on some list, I think, that that they'll never, ever come back again. So I'm just saying, this is Penn Jillette on Free FM telling you what we learned today. We start with woolly mammoths being brought back to life, and we end up with the advice of you can't go wrong naked or in a monkey suit. If you haven't got a monkey suit, chicken suit is fine. And I'm going to be talking about this a lot more in the future here on the Free FM. This is Penn Jillette with Michael Goudeau.